At GEHA, we stand behind our members with access to a network of nearly 600,000 providers. GEHA is proud to offer dental plans exclusively for federal employees, federal retirees, and military retirees. Visit GEHA.com to learn more.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we're back. And folks, we're going to listen to a clip about this Judge Boasberg and these others, these are lawless judges. And here he was involved with Jack Smith. He committed a number of different crimes. But being a federal judge, he's like, they believe they're above the law. And you take it away.
There is heat on Judge Boasberg. To be impeached for obstructing Trump, he's consistently radical. What does it take to impeach a judge? And I'm going to tell you just right at the start why it is unlikely to happen, even though he is not willing to come. He announced that he's not willing to come before Congress and answer some questions about all of his shenanigans. We'll go into all the details by the end of this episode. You'll know everything there is to know about the weaponization of this most corrupt judge in America and why it's very hard to impeach him. And I'll give you the circumstances by which he can be impeached. Welcome to Doug in Exile. I'm Doug Tenapel. I'm the creator of Earthworm Jim, The Neverhood, Cat Scratch. I came out of animation and comic books, and now I bring you the news. I hope y'all had a lovely Thanksgiving. Welcome to the Advent season as we look forward to that great salvation of mankind when God came to earth in the form of a baby. Are you ready for it? The most mind-blowing, the greatest story ever told is coming, and we celebrate that. But what we don't celebrate is Judge Boasberg. Here is the Fox News, a longer interview because I like getting the full story on this Boasberg character.
A legal storm is brewing on Capitol Hill. U.S. District Judges James Boasberg and Deborah Boardman both turning down requests to testify at a Senate hearing this week entitled Impeachment, Holding Rogue Judges Accountable. Boasberg, whose series of judgments regarding the Trump administration have ignited a legal firestorm, including his decision to restrict the White House's use of the Alien Enemies Act to deport Venezuelans. There have also been questions about his apparent role in Arctic Frost, that FBI investigation that allegedly tracked the private communications and phone calls of nearly a dozen Republican lawmakers.
Yes, he's involved with Jack Smith's Arctic Frost that spied on the phones of Senator Ted Cruz, Marsha Blackburn, Lindsey Graham, etc. And now there's giant pushback against that. And then that Boardman, that other lady up top there, neither one of them will come in and talk about Arctic Frost. Now, if the Republican Congress was properly politicized, they would absolutely impeach him or throw him in prison, frog walk him, just like the Democrats did to Bannon and Navarro. But of course, Republicans, we don't fight the Democrats the way the Democrats fight us. And the way the Democrats fight us, it doesn't win elections, but it does put our people in jail. And we have to be willing to do it back to them.
As for Boardman, well, no stranger to controversy after ruling against the administration's effort to restrict birthright citizenship. So the question is, where do things go from here? And we want to discuss all that with another great legal eagle, former Deputy Assistant Attorney General Tom Dupree. Tom, good to have you with us. I don't think I'm breaking any news by saying Judge Boasberg is legal enemy number one in many cases, especially from the Trump administration's perspective. What, if anything, do you make of his refusal to testify?
Well, Kevin, I thought you put it well, that neither of these judges is any stranger to controversy. Yeah. And the fact that both judges have declined to testify before the Senate doesn't surprise me in the least. They were invited to a hearing to testify about their possible impeachment. I can promise you that the last thing in the world they would want to do or have any interest in doing is answering questions under oath from the United States senators. So it doesn't surprise me they took a pass. My guess is that this hearing will still go forward, and it may just be a discussion. Maybe they got other witnesses, or the senators just discuss and look into the substance of the rulings that they're concerned about.
Now, a lot of people are going to get mad that they're just going to talk in Congress. They're just going to talk. Just so you guys know, the body of Congress is not made. It's not designed. It is oversight, but it's not designed to just pull the trigger and start arresting people. They're going to go like, oh, more discussions. By the way, I think half those comments are from AI to get you to be dissatisfied with Republicans and to allow Democrats to win. That's where I believe a lot of those bots are programmed to say that. nothing will happen, nothing ever happens, to frustrate you, to depress the vote. And I mean, across 100,000 bot programs being sent out. And that's why I don't talk that way, because I see what the Democrat plan is: to disparage you, to discourage you, and for you to think that voting really doesn't matter. That's the way that they win.
Especially as it relates to Boasberg. Let me share this sound. This is Ron Johnson talking about some of the questionable decisions, not just things that have happened in the past, but that broadly paint his legal judgment, let's just say, in an unfavorable light for many. Listen to this.
What Judge Boasberg did in issuing these non-disclosure orders, I believe, is illegal. So we sent a letter to Judge Boasberg to answer, did he not know about that law? Did Jack Smith not disclose that to him? He's got till December 4th to respond to us. I hope he does.
He won't.
He says, I hope he does. Listen, this Arctic frost thing is not going away, Tom. It is damning, I think, and that's being generous.
Yeah, and look, I think the way the Senate is going to proceed here is hear from other witnesses. Yeah. I mean, they may have a chance to talk to Jack Smith. They can talk to other people who were involved in this. I think trying to get a federal judge to come and testify about what went into his decision making is a difficult task. Typically, judges do not go and testify about the substance of their rulings or their reasoning before the Senate. So my guess here, if the Senate wants to look into it, they're going to be looking into other witnesses and other evidence to try to get a better handle on what actually happened here.
Listen, I mean, that's what a judge is. Job is. It's not to come in and testify. They're the judge. They're the top. They're the supreme. They make the decision. They're not elected. They're generally appointed. So the point of an appointment is to protect them from cross-examination. The judge isn't on trial, usually. Now, Boasberg, it doesn't mean that judges are perfect and they can't be corrupted. Boasberg isn't corrupt. He's a radical. He believes it. He's like a cult member. He's not trying to lie and deceive. He believes the lies as truth.
And it's one thing to complain about Judge Boasberg. It's another thing to actually act to do something. Let me share his background. And I think it is fairly clear, even to someone who might generally lean left. This is not really, to me, at least as I look at it from a layman's perspective, the actions of someone who is not a partisan. And that's, again, not even talking about Arctic Frost. Can a person like this be impeached? And if so, how does that happen?
Okay, here goes. Before we get into that impeachment of what it would take to impeach him and why I believe it's going to be very difficult to nail a guy like Boasberg, this guy's background may show that he's some kind of an activist judge, that he was appointed to the bench nearly 15 years ago by President Barack Obama, served as a presiding judge of the U.S. Foreign Intelligence Service Court, oversaw the FISA court that authorized surveillance of certain members of Trump's 2016 campaign. That is normal to a Democrat. Those are normal things a Democrat does. That's no different than one of our judges speaking at a Heritage Foundation or some conservative banquet. So this is a kind of a genetic fallacy. The problem is, what I'm trying to defend here is the idea that people often do evil with the best of intentions. And that's why I don't care what your intentions are. I don't care what defense people would even have of Judge Boasberg, because in general, it's going to fall down political lines. And the problem is, this guy is a rubber stamp, radical, socialist Democrat. He sees the world through that lens. That's all he sees is, did Trump sign it? I have to overturn it. And that's what you get. Now, the question is, how do you remove this guy, and can you remove him? And I don't believe you can unless you can prove one certain thing that we'll get to right after this statement.
Yeah, the standard for impeaching a federal judge is the same standard that you would use to impeach a president or other federal officials. You basically need to show bribery, treason, or high crimes and misdemeanors.
There it is. It's the same thing that it takes to impeach Trump. How was Trump impeached? Bribery, treason, or high crimes and misdemeanors. And that comes down to political will of a bunch of congressmen to make up a lie. Like, yeah, Trump, He committed a high crime of insurrection. He committed a high crime. They just make it up. Now, because this judge, Boasberg, I don't believe he was bribed. So you can't nail him on bribery. Treason? Very hard to get him on treason. That's a very specific crime. You have to prove it. And I don't believe merely working against America in a general sense within the Democrat Party worldview is enough to nail him for treason. So now it's high crimes and misdemeanors. That's the only one that you could get him on. First, you have to prove that his surveilling congressman is a high crime. When he believed he was going after criminals, Marsha Blackburn, everyone's favorite grandmother, to Boasberg, to a Democrat as a criminal. So the question is, will the Republicans exercise their same political will that Democrats need to get some comeuppance and go after Boasberg just for the H-E-L-L, just for the hell of it, really is what has to be there. And I don't believe Republicans are made of that. We can be frustrated with that all we want is, look, it's fight time and you're not willing to fight. And you're not willing to fight dirty. When you have a bunch of evil barbarians storming your men, women, and children, your women, and you go up to one of those barbarians with his scimitar and you kick him in the and suddenly your own side says, hey, we don't fight that way. We fight like gentlemen. We don't kick another man in the and it's a battle and they're taking your women and children. That's when, like, and you have all these Republicans coming in their suits saying, we have to be constitutional. We have to be fiscally conservative. The rules still apply. I think we're beyond that, but I could be wrong. What do you guys think? Let me know in the chat below. We'll let this guy wrap up the statement.
And if you look back at our nation's history, we have impeached and removed federal judges, but not as many as you might think, you know, a dozen or so. Typically, they would be removed and impeached for things like accepting bribes.
So that was the easiest way to prove it, which Boasberg, he's a true believer. You don't have to pay him to go after Trump. He doesn't have to accept money from Soros. I'm sure Soros has given him money. But I'm saying we're not likely to get Boasberg on bribery. And that's when the other judges, the only 12 in our country's history, federal judges that have been impeached, it's because we caught them in a financial scandal. Now, of course, there should be some Republicans that should be working to try to bribe Boasberg so we can get him. But we don't think that far ahead. That's the way the Democrats work. Again, part of why Republicans lose is because we are truth tellers and we believe in the truth and the Constitution. And Democrats by nature are not truth tellers. They cheat. They don't believe in the rules. And that's why they at least temporarily win.
Or failing to pay taxes or something unrelated to the substance of their rulings. Traditionally, the way that we would handle judges who kind of go off their rails and make crazy, wrongheaded rulings is by challenging those rulings to the appellate court. And in this case, keep in mind that Judge Boasberg was reversed by the higher courts in this very case. That's typically the way that we would handle situations where you see judges just not fairly applying the law or ruling from partisan motives. You go to the appeals court or even the United States Supreme Court and get those decisions reversed.
Yeah, and that's been happening quite a lot. I think someone shared something with me that said, I think the Trump DOJ is like betting 92% on getting a lot of these crazy rulings reversed. As for Boardman, again, a number of controversies, including, as I share a bit of Boardman's background. These are just some of the rulings against the Trump administration. I want to share this for the viewers at home. Birthright citizenship, DOGE access to so-called private data from agencies, restoring AmeriCorps-funded programs. Again, just to name a few, it's one thing to say that there's judicial tyranny, and some people have made that argument. Others would say, Kevin, they're entitled. Where do you fall on that?
My view is that I think federal judges all have a uniform obligation to apply the law fairly, to interpret our Constitution fairly in the way that they understand it in good faith, based on what the text of the law, what the text of the Constitution says, regardless of whatever they, the judge, might prefer as a partisan motive or a partisan outcome.
That's Judge Boardman, and I'm sorry, but all judges are partisan. You're on one side or the other. And if you're a Republican, you believe in the truth and you believe in being impartial. And if you're a Democrat, you believe in lies and you don't believe in being impartial over those lies. So this Judge Deborah Boardman that they're showing here, that's why we have a whole different political philosophy. She believes in a totally different standard of political philosophy than we do. So does Boasberg. And so this Tom Dupree guy is a normal Republican pretending that we're living under these standards that we no longer live under if it's a Democrat judge.
I think there are some judges, frankly, that are better. at fairly neutrally applying the law than others.
Okay, you're not doing anything. The good news is that Pam Bondi has taken up over 96 of these Boasberg-type politicized cases and had them reversed, 96% reversed by a higher court. And that is the more likely way that we're going to end up dealing with Boasberg. He's there to gum up, put a drag on the entire system, to be put a stick in that cog and jam up the Trump agenda. That's his goal. The remedy, it's slow, it's deliberative, it's frustrated. It's not to arrest him and put him in jail. We will not, I don't think we'll successfully impeach him unless the Republicans grow a pair, learn how to fist fight in a cage match. And that's not what they do. Let's face it. They wear ties and go to work. They haven't had muddy shoes in quite a long time. So the way that you do it is you send it to a higher court and get it reversed. Pam Bondi's doing an incredible job, has an incredible successful track record on that, because all it does is it exposes Boasberg. More videos to come. I'm going to wrap this one up. Let me know in the chat below. Do you guys think Boasberg will get impeached, or will he merely get reversed by higher courts? I'm Doug in exile, dying to hear what you think.
Well, I think, you know, it would be wonderful to have him impeached, okay? I don't know. There are a few Republicans, but everything this fellow just said about the Republicans and the Democrats are true. When it comes to morality, they follow the textbook right from Karl Marx and Engels, where they refer to what is morality. Morality is whatever the means justify the end, or the end justifies the mean. Mm-hmm. They don't believe in truth, and they don't believe in God. Okay, it wasn't always that way. I mean, there used to be, and I remember a time when there wasn't a whole lot of difference between the Democrats and Republicans. Today, again,
a lot of them used to play that moderate card.
Yeah.
And they would stick with it because that's what kept getting them elected. But now recently, they completely threw that out and have gone crazy.
They are totally corrupt. I mean, they don't believe in telling the truth. Karl Marx made it very clear. You go this way, go that way, say this, say that, whatever you have to do. And they just don't do. They hate God. They hate life. They hate America. You know,
they hate you.
Yeah.
Listening right now, they hate you.
Yeah, they do. And I mean, I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm not saying this to be nasty. I'm saying it because it's true. They have become a very wicked, evil, ungodly party of people, and they have no morality. There is no morality left with those people. Now, he's right when he's talking about the Republicans, too. There are a handful of them out there, a percentage.
There's a couple.
Just, you know what? It's just like those that are in the pulpit. It's a handful, mm-hmm. a small percentage. But you have people like Jim Jordan, like Cromer, like Josh Hawley, mm-hmm. like Ted Cruz.
Kennedy.
Kennedy. You've got a handful. You got a small group out there that have got some courage.
Got a backbone and a willing to fight.
Got a little bit of spine, yeah. But the vast majority of them don't. And they, you know, the Democrats will put Republicans in jail. Mm-hmm. And what'll happen is the Republicans will step back and they won't fight for their own. Okay?
No,
they won't. And they've got a bad reputation for doing that. And people are really, you know, getting fed up with that. And so that's the word. And it's the very same thing what I'm talking about when it comes to the pulpit out there today in America. They'll turn a blind eye. They don't run to the aid, only a handful, only the conservative Christian, the real Christians, will run to the aid of a brother or sister in Christ that's in trouble, that will even bother. And the others say, well, if they're in trouble, they must have done something wrong. They must have broke the law or something, okay?
Yeah, that's on them. That's not on me.
Right.
And that's not a good way to go through life.
And, you know, Coach Dave Dobemeyer, Coach Dobemeyer came to me some years ago, and he asked me, he said, I want your opinion on some things. And he told me that, he said, you know, he was a winning coach, winning team, high school football team. And because they were a winning team, you know, they started each game in prayer and ended each game in prayer. And he was invited to come and speak in all the churches, you know, because he was a winning coach and a Christian. But then the ACLU got after him for the prayer, so we got to stop this prayer. And Coach Dobemeyer told me, he said, Pastor, he said, I thought, he said, wait till the pastors hear about this. They're not going to put up with this.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and that's what happened, those same big mega churches where he went to speak. Well, we're sorry, Coach, but we don't get involved in things like that. And you see that, and that's...
No backbone.
No backbone. And so, anyhow, and to me, boy, I'm going to tell you, it's pathetic. It really is. I got no tolerance for that at all.
And you see it, too, because with what happened with the government shutdown and Trump was calling for them to end the filibuster, and we could end this shutdown.
Yeah.
And they refused to do it because they think that, oh, well, you know, if we do that, then when they get in power, then they're going to do their things. Well, yeah, they're going to do that anyways. That's why you have to do it first.
Right, dummy. Right. You're absolutely
It's correct. Preemptive.
They're going to do if they get back in power, it's going to be 100% pure communist.
Story I read said something about that they were planning that when they get back in power, they are planning on packing the courts with like, I believe it said 21 judges on the Supreme Court. That would destroy us.
They've thrown out a number of numbers. One said 12, one says 16, and like you said, one says 21.
21, that's the highest I've seen. I've seen 12, I've seen 16, I've seen just enough to get them the majority, but they're playing the long game. We need to do that as well. I don't understand why we refuse to do it.
Well, you know what? It's because we have some rhinos that really aren't Republicans at all.
I know. We've been infiltrated.
Right. And they're Democrats within the system. And so, anyhow, we're going to go. And Eric has got, this is his debut.
Big debut.
Big debut. He's going to go ahead and he's going to do an article here on the program. Go for it, Eric.
Okay. Accused of lighting woman on fire. Judge now orders man arrested 72 times to stay in jail until trial. Well, now.
So now he's ordering him in jail.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's her, and she should be in jail.
Yes.
She should be charged as a co-conspirator.
That's
just like Greg,
yep.
The guy that set that woman on fire on the train in New York, mm-hmm. Greg should be a co-conspirator in that.
For an accomplice.
Absolutely. He should be charged, right?
Absolutely responsible. Yes. And that's how we stop this, judges just letting people go and prosecutors just not prosecuting. But that's how we stop this. We hold them accountable. If these people commit more crimes because you let them back out on the street.
And if the people were to wake up and understand about the people's grand jury, we could do that.
I know.
We could do that. Rag would be in jail where he belongs. But go ahead.
Okay. Let's see. This man was arrested. 50-year-old Lawrence Reed is accused of intentionally lighting the woman on fire with gasoline and a lighter. Judge Laura McNally was the one that ordered Reed must remain behind bars ahead of his trial due to his criminal history. Well, gee, maybe he should have been already been behind bars for one of his other 72 arrests.
Well, everyone deserves 71 chances, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Well, right. Here's the thing. The reason it was because he was in a home for the criminally insane.
Yeah.
They put him in there, but because he's violent. See, that's when criminals become violent.
Yeah.
Because he was violent and he was a threat to the people in there, they let him out so he could be a threat to other people.
To everyone else, yeah. It makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
That is what a Democrat does. Only a Democrat could do something like that.
Anyway, Reed, with a long violent record, shouted, I plead guilty in court and could face life. Now, under federal law, he was accused of committing a terrorist attack or violence against a mass transportation system. In a court filing, federal officials determined he is simply too dangerous for pretrial defense. Defendant's actions and criminal history, as shown, demonstrate that he is a serious danger to everyone in the community. The state court system has been unable to contain defendant's violent crimes, and federal intervention is now needed, a prosecutor's charge. Now, you know, a lot of you people I know are very angry about this, and are probably saying, well, why don't we just take this guy out and strap him to a bench, pour gasoline on him, and throw him a match.
Yeah, eye for an eye.
Yeah, well, of course, that would mean that you're no better than the guy that lit the woman on fire.
When you act like them, you become them.
Exactly. That's right. So just remember, the Lord saith.
But that judge should be tried as a co-conspirator in that crime.
Absolutely. That's how we stop this madness.
And not just in his crime, but on hundreds and hundreds of other crimes where she's put criminals back on the streets,
mm-hmm.
like Bragg.
Yeah, it's
like
a pattern. This isn't a one-time oops, you know?
Yeah. The Lord saith, vengeance is mine. So remember, folks, when he dies, he's going to be put in a fire that's worse than he could even imagine in his worst dreams forever. So then your vengeance will be...
He's got a chance, while he's still alive, he's got an opportunity to repent. But will he do it?
No, yeah. I doubt it.
I doubt it, too. All right. Billions stolen. Report charges biggest funding source for Somali Terror Network and Minnesota taxpayers. This is big right now. They're going after it. Tampon Timmy and Omar are right in the midst of this. We're talking about billions of dollars of... The people in Minnesota, in fact, we should open the phone lines here in a minute. And if you folks in Minnesota, give us a call and tell us what you think of this at 888-677-9673. Your tax dollars going to arm Somalis. A new research project in charging that Minnesota state taxpayers are the biggest single source of funding for the Muslim terror network of Al-Shabaab. The research published in the City Journal reveals that an investigation has confirmed what many suspect would happen when a tribal mindset meets a bleeding heart bureaucracy. The state under Governor Tampon Tim Walz, who was on board in Kamala Harris's catastrophe, their failed presidential bid for her party, is drowning in fraud. This guy was so phony. Billions in taxpayer dollars have been stolen during the administration of Governor Tampon Tim Walz alone. Democratic state officials overseeing one of the most generous welfare regimes in the country are asleep at the switch. And the media, duty-bound by progressive pieties, refused to connect the dots, the report said. The new and the major fraud scheme has allegedly been perpetrated by members of the Minnesota sizable Somali community. The research explained federal counterterrorism sources confirmed that millions of dollars in stolen funds have been sent back to Somalia, where they ultimately landed in the hands of the terror group Al-Shabaab. The report noted one source confirmed the largest funder of Al-Shabaab is the Minnesota taxpayer.
Unbelievable.
If you were to design a welfare program to facilitate fraud, it would probably look like Minnesota's Medicaid Housing Stabilization Services Program. The HHS program, the first of its kind in the country, was launched with a noble goal to help seniors, addicts, and disabled and the mentally ill secure housing. It was designed with low barriers to entry and minimum requirements for reimbursement. Nonetheless, Before the program went live in 2020, officials placed its annual estimated price tag, now check this out, at $2.6 million, the reserve charge. The costs in 2021 alone totaled $21 million, and since then, the annual toasts have been $42 million, then $74 million, and now it's, so it went from $2 million to $104 million.
Unbelievable.
And so here, state officials have noticed the credible allegations of fraud, decided to shut it down just a week ago. Acting U.S. Attorney for Minnesota Joe Thompson confirmed criminal fraud indictments against Mokhtar Hassan Adem, Mustafa Dayab Al-Khalid, and M. Ahmad Dalib, Abadefa Muhammad Mohammed, and Christopher Adolfo Falade Emmanuel Oladamawandi Falade and Ahmed Adao. And, well, you know, I tell you what. Tampon Tim says, we're going to make them pay. We're going to arrest these people. Tampon Tim knew that was going on. He knew these people voted, and they know he knew they voted as often, and early and often. And he turned his head. He looked the other way. He knew all along, Tampon Tim, corrupt, 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 corrupt Tampon Tim.
Yeah, it was supposed to cost an estimated $2 million a year. So you wait until it's almost half a billion already gone?
Yep.
And then you shut it down?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can't tell me he didn't know what was going on. And this guy was almost a heartbeat away from being president.
Yep.
Insane.
Yeah, I mean, just think about the insanity of that. Unbelievable. Alrighty. We're going to a break. We'll be right back.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver, a little gold, but in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line.
Just over the hilltop in that bright light.
All righty, we're back. And you know what? Tampon Tim must have got all their money because our Minnesota listeners aren't calling.
They're not calling.
They're not calling. Like, you know what?
I'd like to hear from someone on the streets there in Minnesota to see what's actually going on.
Well, let me tell you, if you were in Minnesota, would you be very proud of what the heck?
No, I don't know if I'd want to admit it.
Yeah, and so you might, yeah, you might not, well, I mean, you might not be real happy to say anything, but well, the phones are ringing, so maybe we get somebody in here from Minnesota. We'll take those. Yeah, we got one. We got them. Here they're coming. We got to do them first. Okay. Let's go with Greg in Minnesota.
Yes, Pastor Ernie, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I am well, thank you, by the grace of God. We are so fed up with Ilhan Omar, and for that matter, the Somali community. I think, you know, she doesn't realize that she's not as insulated as she thinks she is. If she cheated or lied on her naturalization process, she could be booted out.
Well, besides, they keep saying that's what Trump has in mind. He wants her out. He wants her. I mean, she hates this country to begin with, right?
Yeah, yeah. So why stick around?
Exactly. So, by all means, kick her out.
What would it take to have her take Tampon Tim with her?
Oh,
please.
One-way plane ticket.
We would love that. He's probably the worst governor I've ever seen in my lifetime. And we've had some doozies here.
Well, I mean, he did give you tampons in the boys' bathroom. What else do you want?
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Nobody else has ever done that.
He's a sick man. No, I drop the word man. He's a sick person. He's, none of the Minnesotans I talk to that I work with care. They nobody likes him. They want him out. I'm afraid that Minnesota is probably like Chicago, and the Democrats cheat beyond belief when it comes to elections. And so when we do some of these things like having ballots that you have to show your identification and you have to sign, then we might get something done correctly.
Well, you know, you guys got to fight, you know, but the Lord has put you there here, Greg. So I know what you're like. We had a battle here, and we got the Tea Party together, but it's gonna be, and I mean, I'm just, you got your whole, your state house, your Senate, and Congress are filled with communists. So,
yes, it's a disgusting situation. I was just listening to a video by Victor Davis Hanson.
Yeah,
great. And he was relating that the people are actually getting out into the streets in Minnesota and facing her. She was a Zambian woman who was a naturalized citizen who loves this country, was reading her the Riot Act. And because Ilhan Omar was acting so smug that she can't be deported. Well, this was years ago, at least over a year and a half ago. There was one gentleman here in Minnesota who's pointed out that she's committed over 8 felonies. And then we have Keith Ellison, who happens to be a Muslim, who is supposed to be the top cop, the attorney general. Nothing.
Yeah, he's as corrupt as the day is long. I have to move on because the whole board is lit. But listen, thanks for calling, Greg. God bless, my friend. Have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Pastor Ernie.
Let's go to April in Minnesota. April, you're in the air.
Hi. Thank you for wanting to hear from us folks here in Minnesota regarding this conundrum we're in. And I just wanted to call in and just say that it is just so painful. This is such a beautiful state, and I've lived here all my life, and it's just really depressing because we're known as the land of 10,000 lakes, but really it's the land of 10,000 taxes. You know, like, we're one of the top tax states already in the United States, top 5. And just to see our tax dollars being wasted like this, and it's just really even hard to look at Governor Waltz. So I know that so many other states are in the same position, but it's just really actually embarrassing to say I live in Minnesota, to be honest with you.
Well, God bless you, April, for calling in and taking a stand. And I know where you're coming from there, but
and admitting that you live in Minnesota, that takes a lot of courage, actually.
Well, the reason they call them blue states is because people live in those states are all blue, they're so blue,
It's so true. And, we are one of the first, I think we were one of the first cities in Minneapolis to gleefully bring in the Muslim call to prayer. So you have that Muslim call to prayer going on in Little Somalia in the Cedar Riverside West area of Minneapolis. Whether you like it or not, you're going to hear the Muslim call to prayer. I think it's every few hours, every single day.
Well, if you get an opportunity, move to Ohio, because here we try to put our Democrats in jail where they belong.
We try.
Yeah, we try. Yeah, but there's too many of them in the courts right
now. There's too many of them in the Republican Party.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but we're badly. God bless you, and have a blessed Christmas.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Let's go to Randy. Randy, you're in the air.
How you doing, Pastor Ernie? Good evening.
I'm doing okay, Randy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Blessed by the best. You're talking about Tampon who, Tom?
Tampon Tim.
Yeah. Oh, Tim. Well, I work for a GI. He needs a colonoscopy all the way from the bottom to the top. Clean him out. And I'll tell you, our government's really going down. The whole country's going down. We're talking about illegal aliens and all kinds of other things happening. You've talked about it. You were here in San Diego, as a matter of fact, a while back. And Governor Newsom, I don't know he's going for president, but he's wrecking California big time. The Democrats, what you want to call them. So we're praying, and we're praying a lot at Bethany Assembly. And we pray for your ministry and still support it, and we're thankful and grateful. And I want to continue with you, but don't drop off. Whatever you do, there's a way, there's a will and a way, because God rules, no other.
Amen. Well, thanks, Randy. God bless, and, we're in this fight until it's not over till we win. All right.
That's right. Fight the good fight, and iron sharpens iron.
Amen. I'm looking for that mansion someday.
So am I. I'll be with you.
All righty. God bless. Let's go to Cliff in New York. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, when you talk about Vosburgh, this guy's just sitting at a desk and making pronouncements on subjects he does not have the expertise on.
Or the authority.
Where's his expertise on all these things he's putting forth? On international and foreign affairs, how does the court have jurisdiction?
No, he's got a doctorate in resisting Donald Trump. It's a Trump.
Yeah, but it's a flaw in the system.
Trump derangement syndrome doctrine.
Right, but it's just one person. One person. He didn't do research on any of these subjects that he's, extensive research. It's just like. He's like almost like a news guy writing a newspaper.
He was appointed by Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah.
Okay. And he is another Obama, just with lighter skin. That's all.
Yeah. And I guess Vigio is really just talking about the World Health Organization and the kill shots when he's talking about the greatest crime in history or since the flood. I was thinking I did do the audiobook, the FISA papers, and one of the tidbits was they talk about micro and macro aneurysms, and they gave a case study where this guy apparently from the shock got a micro aneurysm, and at first they thought he had a stroke. He came out of it and was out chopping wood for a month, and then he did have a stroke, and it blew. So even these small aneurysms can kill you, generated by the shots. So that was one tidbit. But, again, that went to the Supreme Court under the premise that the word vaccine meant vaccine, and these are not vaccines. Nothing to do. It can't be. Nobody got vaccinated from COVID. That's not the proper word. But last thing I want to ask is, I was listening to Bill Creasy on Audible. It's free, the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He has like an hour teaching on that. And Revelation 10:11, he's saying that basically this is where they're saying that, John, keep going. Keep it going. Would you agree with that, 10:11?
You know what?
Keep going with his ministry.
Well, yeah, we always keep going with the ministry. Yeah. And so,
yeah, I didn't pick that up previously, that verse 10:11.
Yep.
About, you know, continue, do it again with the prophecies and so forth. I know there's various verses like, yeah, be persistent, continue in prayer.
And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, and tongues. And that's exactly what he means.
Yeah. That's kind of encouraging, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that, you know, it's not just a one-time victory or one-time that you're encouraged to continue on with the work. I never picked that up previously. You know, that particular verse is meaning that, or...
That was the voice of the seventh angel. I have to go because we're running out of time. Have a Merry Christmas to you.
Okay, I'll talk to you. Okay.
All righty. I wanted to say this before. We go to Pastor Hell, and Hell's going to be the last call tonight. But today I went to the VA, and there was a lady there, an optometrist. And her name, and what a sweetheart, a real sweetheart and a real professional. And I had seen her before. Jennifer Choate is her name. And I just wanted to say a heads up, because this lady was so professional. And she's not only pretty, but she was pretty good at her job. So, Jennifer, if you're listening out there, this old soldier says, God bless you. And thank you so much for taking such good care of us. And with that, let's go to Pastor Hal.
Yeah, Pastor, I just want to say something. You guys were talking about that guy, that psycho that set that woman on fire on that train. And I think the reason you see so much of that, and we're going to see more of that, is because this country turned its back on capital punishment. And it was God himself that instituted capital punishment. In Genesis 9:6, he said, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." Now, that's talking about the judicial system of this country. It means that the courts should declare capital punishment on anybody that goes out and kills other people in cold blood. And people say, well, Christians ought to forgive. Well, that's during that Christians forgiving each other is about the personal day-in and day-out relationships we have with other people. That don't mean you throw judicial justice out the window and let these psychos go out and murder people, give them a slap on the hand, and let them go again to go murder more people. That's completely insane. We need to reinstitute capital punishment. If these cuckoos get to see other terrorists hanging by a rope, getting a death sentence without a bunch of delay when they get caught in cold blood murdering people, then that's going to cut down drastically on the amount of continued murders they do. But they see these guys, you know, they go to prison, they get a roof over their head, they get 3 square meals a day, and you know, they don't get, that's not punishment for murdering people in cold blood. And then even then they get off on parole and go out and do it some more. So, you know, when we did away with capital punishment, that was the death knell for this country, because it's telling all the crazies you can go out and do what you want and get away with it, just get a slap on the hands. And so that just makes me mad. If I was a dictator, I guarantee you capital punishment would be reinstituted, and no bunch of lawyers would be given the chance to drag it out forever to make money on, you know, delaying the punishment. They'd get a certain time period where they could say goodbye to everybody they knew, get right with God. I'd give them an opportunity to get right with God. But then, you know, they'd pay for their crime.
And that's justice.
That's what America needs to do.
I got to say this very quickly because we're running out of time. We have to give the invitation. But I'm all 100% in with the death penalty given to us, that statute in Genesis chapter 9, 5 through 7. But, you know, but the problem with it is you have to have a legitimate government. You have to have a legitimate judicial. And the problem of it is we don't. when often when you have sentenced someone to the death, you simply have one set of criminals in charge of another. That's where our judicial system is. To a great degree, it has been so corrupted that, and you know yourself, we got seven guys off death row, or it looked, took at least part of that, because they were innocent, and they knew they were innocent when they convicted them. But hell, we're looking for a match, and we, you know, those of us that are born twice die once. And so tell the folks how they can get a match and avoid that burning lake of fire.
Well, you know, the Bible says, tells us that God loves us, but he hates our sins. God wants us to come to heaven, but he says our sins cannot come with us. And the only thing that can wash away our sins is the blood of Christ. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. When God allowed Jesus to die on that cross, he allowed Jesus, his son, to transfer your sin and mine onto his son in full, no matter how many sins you've done or how bad. And when Jesus said it is finished, that meant all the work that needed to be done for your redemption and mine has been accepted by God the Father for your redemption to go to heaven instead of go to hell. But that's not automatic. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work your way to heaven. You could be a member of every church in town and die and go to hell with all your membership cards. And no priest or bishop or any of that stuff, any of those people can wave their hands around, say absolution, and wash away even one of your sins. The Bible says we're redeemed by the blood of Christ because in Christ was all the fullness of Godhead bodily. The very precious blood of God himself was flowing through the veins of Jesus Christ, and only that sinless blood can wash away our sins. Now, if you want to go to heaven, it's a free gift that God's offering you right now tonight. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He said, but by me. That's very exclusive. It didn't say by Mary, Peter, Paul.
You know, 1 minute, Hal, 1 minute.
So if you want Jesus in your heart and receive eternal life, pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I confess unto you that I'm a sinner and that I need salvation. And Lord Jesus, I believe you died on that cross and shed your blood for me. And right now, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Give me the payments you paid for me in full on that cross. Forgive me of my sins and save my soul from hell. In Jesus' name, amen. And folks, again, look up 1 John 5:10-13. In verse 13, the Apostle Paul said, the Apostle John said, that these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. If you prayed and you asked Jesus to come into your heart as your only Savior, your only way to heaven, that means he's in your heart right now, and he gave you that eternal life, and nobody can ever take it from you. Go ahead, Pastor.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's the greatest thing anyone could ever do, should ever do, is call upon the name of the Lord and get saved. There are absolutes. God's Word, the Bible, is one of those absolutes, and do it tonight. We're out of time for tonight, so we want to say good night.
Good night.
We want to say thanks for being here, and God bless.
God bless.
And then we want to say always, 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 let's do it. Ready? Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.